Yeah. Deuteronomy chapter 19, please. Deuteronomy chapter 19. We're going to be looking at verses 9 through 14. The message tonight is entitled, The Devil's Holiday. The Devil's Holiday. Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 9. When thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abomination of those nations. There shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, or that useth divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. For all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord. And because of these abominations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee. Thou shalt be perfect with the Lord thy God. For these nations which thou shalt possess hearkened unto observers of times and unto diviners. But as for thee, the Lord thy God hath not suffered thee to do so. Let's pray. Have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you this evening again for the Word of God. It tells us the truth. It cuts the truth from the error. It says it like it is. It pulls no punches. But Father, truth makes us free. And so I pray tonight that as we look at this message, that you might set us free and might set someone free. And Heavenly Father, that you might glorify yourself and teach us your will and your ways. That you might magnify your Son, that you might edify your people, that you might save the lost. We ask your blessing to open the lips of your servant and the heart of your people, and we'll give you all the glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen. There are many customs and traditions that are associated with Halloween. And many adult Christians hold childhood memories of Halloween deer. Sometimes we can be guilty of justifying and compromising in order to keep something that we do not wish to part with, or so that we and our children will not appear to be different. Halloween has taken on a more demonstrative mode of celebration in recent years, with homes now being decorated with colored lights and elaborate and costly yard displays. I've seen some displays around town, and I don't know how people can afford all that stuff. Now they even have them hooked up to the radio, and you can go in front of someone's house at Halloween and turn to a certain number on the dial, and the music will play. I guess it's in accordance with what is in the yard. I've also noticed that these displays and decorations are being put up earlier and earlier. Matter of fact, I'm seeing Halloween displays put up in September. Huge costume stores are all the rage, along with online Halloween shopping. And have you noticed that the supernatural and paranormal is big business for Hollywood and TV? Have you noticed that?
Yes.
Some TV shows that are showing on your TV are the following. A show called Medium, Ghost Whisperers, Dead Like Me, Ghost Hunters, Pushing Daisies, Fringe, Dead Files, Paranormal, The Haunted, Supernatural, Heroes, Warehouse 13, Crossing Over, Exorcist Files. That's on the Discovery Channel. Highlander, Sanctuary, Charmed, Being Human, Buffy the Vampire Slayer, True Blood, Angel, Vampire Diaries, Psychic Witness, Pet Psychic, and Good Witch. There's also a show called Midnight, another one somewhere between Wolf Lake and American Horror Story, to mention a few. NBC's Midnight has Texans that live in a southern town that straddles the fault line between hell and earth. And they are attuned to the universe's possibilities. ABC Somewhere Between explores the limits of time travel after a mother sees her daughter's death before it happens and tries to intervene. American Horror Story episode Haunted House has Frankenbabies, The Curse of Immortality, and Leather-Clad Ghosts. Charmed, another show, according to data research from the NPD group, Charmed was the second most binge-watched television series on subscription video on-demand services such as Netflix. When Phoebe discovers the family's book of shadows in the attic, she learns that she and her sisters are the most powerful witches ever known. Destined to protect both innocents and the world at large from demons, warlocks, and other evil creatures. We have vampires and zombies and witches and werewolves are all the rage. And there are at least 27 shows about witches and 24 about vampires. That's crazy. Where did all this interest come from in such things? Now, when I don't mean to, you know, go back into ancient history, but when I was growing up, we had like the Lone Ranger. You know, we had cowboy shows. We never even thought of this kind of stuff as being on television. Some of the channels providing such stuff are the Discovery Channel, History, National Geographic, A&E, Animal Planet, Fox, NBC, CBS, Biography, Cartoon Network, and even the Travel Channel. I could go on and on with a list of Hollywood productions. And we could go on and on with popular books such as Harry Potter and Twilight, all having to do with the supernatural, the paranormal, the netherworld. Now, I can make no rule for you regarding Halloween, but you must make a rule for yourself and for your family, because one day you're going to come into judgment for your actions and your decisions. You're going to meet Jesus face to face and give an account, the Bible says. Now, I only desire to be a help to those who have an open heart and are willing to seek God's best and God's will concerning this matter of Halloween, the devil's holiday. My first point tonight is evil practitioners. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 18 and look at verse 10. Evil practitioners. There shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or daughter to pass through the fire. This is human sacrifice to the god Molech. Or that useth divination. Or an observer of times. And that would include horoscopes and astronomy. Or an enchanter or a witch. Or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. That's someone who contacts the dead. These evil practitioners are real, and they're dangerous, and they're wicked. Yes. Now, you have to understand, the Holy Spirit of God is writing this here through the penman. And the Holy Spirit is saying, these people exist. Amen. These are real people doing real things. And he said to the Jews, he said, you ought not to have these among you. You think God's changed his mind now that we're in the 21st century? He said this was an abomination to him. It's still an abomination to him today. For the most part, Halloween has done a great injustice in making these people seem fanciful or fun. And today we have children dressing up in costumes as cute little witches and funny little ghosts and friendly little monsters. We've all seen the little devil in the little red suit with his pointed tail and his horns and his little pitchfork. When I was growing up, there even used to be a cartoon called Hot Stuff about this comical little devil. You know, the devil's always been trying to get us to think that way of him. No one's afraid of little Hot Stuff. No one's afraid of the little devil in the suit. And that's just what Satan wants. God said they're a reality. 1 Samuel 15, verse 23, speaks of witchcraft as a sin. When I was in high school, which was only a few years ago, I did a paper on witchcraft, and I was surprised at the number of covens that exist around the world, and the practices and the ceremonies and the rituals that people actually go through as witches and warlocks. It's not a fairy tale, friends. It's a reality that exists. Evil practitioners. On Halloween night, real witches and Satanists and druids and nature worshipers will be celebrating their high religious holiday when they believe that the gates to the underworld open and contact with spirit guides happens. That's what Halloween is. Detective Kurt Jackson of Beaumont, California, tells of genuine animal sacrifices, human sacrifices, and baby breeders who provide victims. You've heard of puppy mills? There's baby breeders. So that they can have sacrifices. You say, I can't believe it. All right, you can choose to put your head in the sand and not believe it, but that doesn't make it go away. The ancient druids celebrated a Celtic festival of the dead called Samhain, with rituals which included animal masks, costumes, pointed hats, and the drinking of human blood. People gave food for a blessing from the dead in order not to receive demonic retaliation. This is what people believed. This is what people practiced. It wasn't a fiction book. It was their life. It was their way of life. The carved pumpkins that we see on porches come from an old Celtic practice that started with carved turnips, which were symbols of condemned souls. So that little jack-o'-lantern that you have on your front porch is really a symbol of a condemned soul. Should a Christian be having the symbol of a condemned soul on their porch? I doubt it. I didn't say the pumpkin. A pumpkin is is it a fruit or a vegetable? It's a fruitable. So here, the pumpkin's okay. God created the pumpkin. The pumpkin is food. That's good. You can put a pumpkin out. But when you carve it now, you're in the ancient tradition of carving a symbol of condemned souls. People began disguising themselves as evil spirits in order to confuse the real evil spirits who had been sent out to plague them. Hence, Halloween costumes. That's where Halloween costumes come from. These poor people were so terrified by this time of year when the gates of the netherworld would open up and contact with the dead could happen and contact with the spiritual world, that they actually put on costumes so that the real spirits wouldn't be able to tell who they were. That's pretty sad, isn't it? That's where it comes from. Bobbing for apples was a form of divination. And God said, here we're not supposed to have diviners. In the mid-1800s, European immigrants brought these Celtic customs and practices to America. And real witches and Satanists today see Halloween basically the same as did their ancestors. Halloween is the recognition of the coming of the Lord of Misrule by Satanists. The Lord of Misrule. Wonder who that is. It sure isn't the Lord Jesus Christ. Halloween is the recognition of this coming of this Lord of Misrule. The Satanic Bible says this: after one's own birthday, two major satanic holidays are April 30th and Halloween. Now, we're familiar with Halloween, right? But April 30th, what is that? It's called Walpurgis Night. It's a traditional time of gathering for witches of all stripes. The day before May Day and the fertility festivals. April 30th is the eve of Beltane. And some people, Satan worshipers, celebrate this as a holiday. May 1st is a pagan Sabbat. that is the celebration of the union of the god and goddess. It is also considered a time of thin veiling between the underworld and this. And so there are two. You have April 30th over here and you have Halloween over here. And many of the traditions with Satanists and witches, or the many of the stories and legends, are similar with both of them. An ex-witch, Tom Sanguinet, says Halloween is purely and absolutely nothing but satanic. It in no way glorifies God. It in no way deifies God. It in no way recognizes God. It's so absolutely evil that there's nothing we've ever been able to do that would bring it into acceptability. I think it is the most abhorrent thing in the world. That's an ex-witch. However, the world and Satan have made it respectable, haven't they? With parades and parties and decorations. Many Christians get caught up in it, thinking it's harmless fun. And some Christian parents give in to the whining of their children to go trick-or-treating instead of teaching them the truth and how to separate and take a biblical stand. Amen. If we as Christians can compromise with the holy high day of paganism, what does that teach our children? You can compromise to just about anything if you can compromise to that. I grew up with Halloween. Matter of fact, as a kid, I loved Halloween because to me, all it was about was candy.
Yeah.
You know?
Exactly, yeah.
And I want to say something. You don't have nothing on us. When we went trick-or-treating, we had great big, we had pillowcases.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So I've been there, done that. But I ain't doing it no more. And when I got saved, we decided, my wife and I decided our children weren't going to do that either. And you know what? They grew up just fine. They're not twisted or warped because they didn't have Halloween. Matter of fact, they're less twisted and warped. Amen? And so we have these evil practitioners. Point number two is evil practices, verse 9 and 12. When thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abomination of those nations. So God calls these things abominations. Verse 12. For all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord. And because of these abominations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee. So God said, listen, I'm kicking them out and putting you in. Why? Because you worship the true and living God and they're worshiping the devil. If these practices are so disgusting to God, should we imitate them? Even in fun? Here's an ex-witch said this. Even in fun, it is inappropriate for a Christian to imitate a ghost, a devil, or a witch by dressing up as one. And what about dressing up as little bunnies and deer and puppies? Isn't that okay? You know, a pastor friend of mine once told me about an ex-witch who visited his church at a Halloween party, telling him that the real druids and Satan worshipers dress up with animal masks. And this ex-witch came to his church and she said, I saw the same thing going on in your church that went in our rituals, the wearing of masks of little animals. I even have a video with secret film footage of such a celebration by true druids. Do you honestly think that God agrees with us decorating our homes with ghosts and skeletons and bats and zombies and coffins and witches? Do you think he really agrees with that? How about 1 Corinthians 10:31? Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Listen, when we celebrate Halloween, we're not glorifying the true and living God. We're glorifying the God of this world. We're glorifying the prince of the power of the air because it's his holiday. It doesn't have anything to do with Christ or Christianity. Absolutely nothing. Zero. But it has everything to do with paganism and Satanism and witchcraft. Some may say, well, we're just having a harvest party or a fall party on Halloween. You know what? We already have a fall party. It's called Thanksgiving. Huh? Halloween alternatives on Halloween are not alternatives. It's like giving your children near beer. Well, it's not real beer. It's only kind of beer, but we'll give you near beer. And what are you teaching them by giving them near beer? You're teaching them that one day we're going to graduate you to beer. There's no alternative to Halloween as a Christian. No alternative. I've seen churches who should know better that have what they call trunk and treat. How many have heard about trunk and treat? You know what it's called? A family-friendly trick-or-treating. Really? So we have family-friendly paganism. We have family-friendly Satanism. Does that make sense to you? At church? It is being as much like the world as we possibly can. That's all that is. So, you know, it's a family-friendly alternative. Okay, so instead of our kids going door to door, they go trunk to trunk. What's the difference? It's still celebrating the devil's holiday. It's a form of Christianizing pagan practices and recognizing a pagan holiday. Oh, I hear you. Well, we're trying to be a witness for Christ. Really? How can you be a witness for Christ when you're dressed up like witches and fairies and whatever you're dressed up like? How are you going to be a witness for Christ? Well, we give tracts out. Yeah, I know. I tried that. That's what baby Christians do. Amen. That's what new babes in Christ do. They do things like that. But once you grow up and mature a little bit, you see the fallacy of that. When we first got saved, we said, okay, we're not going to go trick-or-treating, but you know what we're going to do? We're going to give out candy and a track. The kids came and gave out candy and a track. I got convicted about that. Amen. So I said, well, you know what we're going to do next year? We're just going to give out tracks. You know what my yard was littered with? Tracks. So I said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to crinkle them up in some little cellophane. And I'll deceive them. I'll make them think it's candy, but it'll be a track. Won't they be surprised? Yeah, they were surprised. They opened it up and threw it away. So finally we just said, you know what? What are we doing? What are we even participating in this for? These are practices that God forbade for Israel, and practices that are just as nauseating to him today as ever. Especially for those who are supposed to be children of light. We're children of light and we're celebrating a holiday of darkness. What fellowship hath light with darkness? What concord hath Christ with Belial? Rhetorical question. None. And so my third point is this. We had evil practitioners, evil practices. Number three, we have elect maturity. Look at verse 13. Thou shalt be perfect with the Lord thy God. That word perfect means mature. Remember I told you as we grew in the Lord, as we matured, we started seeing. And you know what? The truth made us free. Look at verse 13. Thou shalt be perfect with the Lord thy God. The Bible calls believers the elect or chosen. We are to be mature and God-fearing. We are to keep away from these things. In 2 Corinthians 6:17, the Bible says, wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. God said all these practices are unclean. God said all these practitioners are unclean. So what are we doing touching the unclean? We're supposed to come out from among them. Not go out with them. We're supposed to come out from among them, not be part of them. Ephesians 5:11 says, "And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them." That's what I'm doing. I'm trying to. But preacher, we know, and it's not worshiping the devil for us. We're just having fun. Are we that hard up for fun? I mean, really, Christian? You can't have no fun unless you go Halloweening? Your kids can't grow up normal and have fun without going trick-or-treating? You better get a life. Are we really that dull that paganism qualifies as fun? And what about 1 Thessalonians 5:22 that says, "Abstain from all appearance of evil"? Now, I don't know of anybody. I have not met a single person. I do not know a single person. I doubt you could find a single person that you could ask them if Halloween was a Christian holiday, that they'd say, "Oh yeah, it's Christian." Everybody knows it's not. All its connection, all of its history, in its entirety, is connected with evil. We're supposed to abstain from all appearance. So if we have trunk or treat in the parking lot, it's appearance of evil. I'm just saying. We need to. Can't we stand for anything? Can't we abstain from anything? Is it too much for God to ask that we skip the devil's holiday? Where's the testimony of separation? Where's the testimony of being light? Where's the testimony of being a new creature? And what does it say to those who are involved in the occult? I bet you they just love watching Christians getting involved. Romans 8:12 tells us to approve things that are more excellent, not less. Halloween has nothing, absolutely nothing to do with Christ or Christianity. Halloween is Satan's high day and the occult's holy day. Halloween focuses on blood, death, gore, the occult, tombstones, and the macabre. Halloween is a night for wicked practices and evil activities. And you know what the Bible says? The Bible tells us who are saved, we are a holy nation, a peculiar people. The Bible says we're supposed to show forth the praises of Him who hath called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. This is serious business. The world and the devil are trying hard to draw Bible-believing people in. And we must, therefore, stand against the wiles of the devil. Isn't that what the Scripture tells us? What's one of his wiles? Oh, hey, Halloween's just a fun holiday. It's just another day off. It's another thing to celebrate. No, not for us. You know what? Satanists don't celebrate Easter, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. All these people mentioned here, they don't celebrate our holiday, so why should we celebrate theirs? There are many legitimate holidays in which the child of God can participate, but Halloween should not and is not one of them. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. You're here tonight and you're a born-again Christian. Maybe you never realized it was so serious. Maybe you thought it was harmless. But maybe some questions were answered for you tonight regarding Halloween. Maybe it's time for you to make a choice, a decision, and make a break from Halloween that will glorify God. Maybe you'll come tonight and tell the Lord, "As for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord." But dear Christians, someone, somewhere needs to be the testimony. Somewhere, somehow, people need to see the difference. Maybe you're here tonight or you're watching or you're listening and you've never been saved. You're not a child of God. You've never been born again. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4 says, speaks of you. And it says, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Please, no longer allow yourself to be blinded by the father of lies. And believe the truth of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. God manifest in the flesh. Came to this earth so that he could give his life and shed sinless blood on Calvary's cross as the Lamb of God, as the sacrifice for sin. He died for your sins. He was buried in your tomb. And he rose again from the dead so that he could offer you the free gift of eternal life, the forgiveness of sins. Tonight, would you think about Christ? It'd be a glorious night to be saved, to turn from the one who hates you to the one who loves you the most, the Lord Jesus Christ. And maybe you're here tonight and you heard some things maybe you never heard before, but you know this. You know that you've never had a personal encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. You know that you've never formally asked him to forgive your sins and to save your soul and trust him and him alone to do it. And you know that here tonight you need to do that. There is a heaven and there is a hell. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So maybe tonight you'd like to ask Jesus Christ to forgive your sins and be your Savior. You say, preacher, I need to do that and I want to do it and I'm willing to do it right where I sit. If that's you, I want you to look up at me. You're saying, preacher, I'm here tonight and I know I need to be saved and I'm willing to be saved and I want to be saved and I want to trust Christ as my Savior right now before it's too late. I don't want to die and go to hell. I want to go to heaven. Anybody like that here? Look up at me. We can pray together. You can trust Christ right where you sit. You don't have to do anything except believe. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Anybody like that here tonight? If you're watching or listening, you need to bow your head right now. Confess your sin to God. Tell him you're a sinner. And trust Jesus as your Savior. And ask him right now, wherever you are. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight. Lord, we thank you for that day when we became children of light. And the Bible says that you delivered us from the wrath to come, and that we were translated into the kingdom of your dear Son. You've called us out of darkness. Father, we thank you that you've written your word and you've told us things that are true and right altogether. And Father, help us to understand we're not to be conformed to this world, but we're supposed to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. So help us to think on these things with that renewed mind and to see things from that renewed perspective, that what we do may glorify you and please you. And that Heavenly Father, you might speak to our hearts as we have this invitation. And if there's anyone here that needs to be saved and they have not already trusted Christ, give them the strength and the grace to come and meet me at the front. We'll help them. Father, we love you, we praise you, and we thank you. Help us to do the right thing for the right reason, and we'll give you the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand, please. We're going to sing our closing hymn, number 233, More Love to Thee. 233, More Love to Thee. Maybe tonight you'd like to come and say, Lord, it might not even have anything to do with Halloween, but it may have something to do with a decision that God's been dealing with you about. He's been speaking to your heart about it. And maybe tonight you just need to come and say, Lord, I surrender that. Lord, I'm going to make that decision. I'm going to do what you asked me to do. I'm going to make that choice. And if you have any questions about where you'll spend eternity, I'd like you to come out of your place and meet me right here. We'll help you. The Bible has the answers. If you want them, they're available. All right, we're going to sing. You come as the Lord leads.